You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
I'm doing okay, and I'd like to say Happy New Year to everybody who I didn't say Happy New Year to because they were ill. So if you're listening, Happy New Year, everybody.
I think we're going to have a good year this year as well. I've got a feeling it is going to be a good year, and especially for British nationalism. I've got high hopes for Mark Cullett and Millennial Woes, who are talking about taking things offline and out into the real world. And both of them seem to have a lot of energy, and they've got the youth behind them. And I think we're going to see some good things from them this year. Have you got any predictions for the new year, Dennis, before we begin?
World War III.
Anything positive?
Anything positive? Well, I might just finish
a new video.
The secret, yeah, the Solid Victory of World War II. I might just finish that one. That'll be positive as well.
Okay, I guess we'll all be looking forward to that anyway. That is. That is something to be thankful for. We've got a new video series from you. And what we've got today for is the second part from last week, where we look back over all the episodes that we did last year and some of our favourites. So we've got from June until December to do in this podcast. And we've also got some comments that have been left, and I've got a letter. And the first comment I've got, it comes from Gab, and I can't recall who it was that sent it to me. But he says, good show. Not sure about the anti-evolution thing, but what I really want to know is, does Dennis wear a flat cap? Because he sounds like he does, and that's a good thing. So, Dennis, do you wear a flat cap?
Well, I think I know where he gets the idea from. I think, you know, possibly a long-lost relative used to. But, no, I don't smoke woodbines, and I don't wear flat caps, if that's any good to you.
I guess this must be something Northerners. I guess people imagine Northerners wearing a flat cap.
That's right.
I wear a flat cap sometimes. There's nothing wrong with wearing a flat cap. It's working class, British, I think. Better than wearing a bowler.
Yeah, possibly,
bowler.
Yeah. I just noticed everybody got wearing beret and hair with the ogle bowl.
I guess it's better than a wig, isn't it?
Like a you gotta be,
or a Negro. Right, well, let's move on to the next one. This is a forwarded message. This is from Alfred Schaefer, and this comes via Slane Nesnej from Denmark. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce his name, but anyway, he's forwarded this to me, and it's from Alfred Schaefer. And Alfred Schaefer says, dear friends, Monica Schaefer was arrested on January the 3rd, 2018, in the very heart of Holocaust country while attending as an observer the bizarre Inquisition hearings about the courageous Sylvia Stoltz. This trial was for illegal words that Sylvia Stoltz had spoken at the Anti-Censorship Coalition in Switzerland in 2012. The twisting, nonsensical accusations of the Inquisition was beyond bizarre. What the snake that calls itself the state prosecutor did will be something that will amuse future generations when studying the witch trials of 2018. 45 minutes into the Inquisition, the state prosecutor called for a surprise break, which was then used to arrest my courageous sister, Monica. The only thing Monica did was watch quietly as the Inquisition was dealing with Sylvia Stoltz. These people have us under close observation and figured it was a good opportunity to demonstrate their power and intimidate us. Another snake, masquerading as a state prosecutor, accompanied by three heavily armed thugs, handcuffed Monica and dragged her away. When my sister protested that she is a free person from Canada and had done nothing wrong, the state prosecutor told her, if you wanted to stay free, you should have stayed in Canada. Welcome to Holocaust country. Now they have moved Monica to the high security prison in Munich and will keep her there indefinitely. Monica is accused of making an apology to her own dear mother. The title of the video was, Sorry Mum, I Was Wrong About the Holocaust. What has angered the Jews is the fact that this one little video has undone hundreds of millions of dollars worth of their psychological warfare that most of us had become victims of. They thought that their ridiculous Holocaust program was now firmly wired into our brains, and then along comes Monica and blows it out of the water with a simple apology to her mum. That really surprised them. This is happening at the same time that our borders are open, and millions of young men from Africa and Asia are flooding into our European countries with a free pass to do whatever they want. This is something that the Jews had planned for the European countries for a very long time. In the end, our cities are supposed to turn into Lagos or Calcutta-type slums that can no longer resist Jewish hegemony. The sick, perverted criminals that ordered Monica arrested are people that put a pancake on their head and nibble the foreskins off of little eight-day-old baby boys, thinking that this odd behaviour somehow gives them the privilege to rule the planet. These perverts are the same ones that tried to silence me a long time ago, but have failed. Here they are the B'nai B'rith, Canada. To put Monica Schaefer in prison because she apologised to her mum is making many people very angry, and not helping people to like the Jews very much. In fact, this may give Jews who want to come clean and join humanity the opportunity to help us get Monica out of prison. So if you are a Jew, we have many judicial costs to cover, and helping get Monica out of prison can be used as proof that you are a quote-unquote good Jew. Just contact me and we can work together. That's from Alfred Schaefer. Well, I doubt we have that many Jews that actually listen to the show, Dennis. But
you never know. Maybe yeah. There's other reasons on it, but go on.
Well, as I say, anyone that can help out, wants to write to them, that can help donate money to them, contact Alfred Schaefer. I mean, brave woman traveling all the way over there from Canada to show support for Sylvia Stoltz and then actually being arrested actually at the trial itself. But this reminds me of Ernst Zundel. When he went to Germany, he was arrested. I think people have just got to be very, very wary of going to Germany if they are saying anything that's critical of Jews online. I mean, it may be legal for them to say it in their own country, but when you're in Germany, they just seem to throw the laws out the window and just go after the people they want to lock up, really. What are your views on this, Dennis?
Right, well, Sylvia Stoltz, I actually remember the speech that she gave in Switzerland, and she actually said that she was, obviously she's a lawyer, so she were very experienced in what she can say and what she can't say. She felt that she didn't say anything wrong. When she got back to Germany, she was immediately arrested after a 3-year imprisonment had just ended. And then I remember the video of the lady, Monica, who apologised to her mother. I remember that. And is it a surprise though? I mean, it's cruel and it's barbaric, but is it a surprise? I wouldn't even be surprised if the Canadian officials had already warned the Germans that she was coming. Nothing surprises me. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a tough one now, because I don't know if people realise about Holocaust trials, but there is no not guilty plea. The only plea you can give is guilty, I'm insane, or guilty, please be lenient.
It's tragic, isn't it? The twisting of laws and free speech to do this. And I guess what they're trying to do by this is intimidate people into not showing support at trials. I mean, that's got to be what it is, isn't it? I mean, there's a lot of people that go there to the trials of revisionists to show support. And by doing something like this, they're trying to prevent people from doing that, which is, you know, I just hope it doesn't affect some of the courageous revisionists that we have got that speak out, because this will prevent them from being able to go over there. So if you're actually in Germany itself, I guess make sure you go to the revisionist trials to show support, because we've got to have people there. It reminds me, we've got trials of our own coming up this week, I think, January the 10th, one of our political prisoners. I'll have to find out more about that in time for...
I know there's some national action
information
floating around lately again. Someone was being accused of various things when we talked about this other week and said that it had been disbanded.
Oh, totally. It hasn't been in existence for over a year. When they say members of National Action, what they're saying is members of a fictional organisation. There is no organisation called National Action anymore. So they're just picking on young nationalists and using that as an excuse to use terrorist laws and legislation against them. I think
it's funny how they don't do usually on the communists, isn't it?
Oh, we won't do it to them at all. But I think it's Jack Renshaw's trial that begins on the 10th of January. Anyway, we'll find out more about that for everyone next week. Right, well, let's get into some of these podcasts that we did last year, some of our favourites. And the one that I've got here from June was called Beyond Good and Evil, which was really the push to get rid of opposites. Do you want to explain what we meant by Beyond Good and Evil, Dennis?
Well, I love to, but I can't remember the part. That's a film in.
Okay. Well, what we were talking about is the way that the Jews and the Freemasons, they try to relativize everything. They say that depending on the circumstances now, what may have been evil years ago is now good. And they're basically trying to get rid of the opposites and trying to say that there is no such thing as good or evil. It's all subjective. And this push to get rid of the opposites is like a push to get rid of the boundaries between what's right and what's wrong. And it coincides with the push to get rid of the boundaries to our countries, which allow people to invade them. And it's just this whole idea, this Kabbalistic idea of not discriminating, not seeing what's good and evil, that is at the root of all the legislation that we see today. The pushing for diversity, the pushing for transgenderism, pushing for gay marriage. It's all about getting rid of boundaries, and it all goes back to this Kabbalistic idea that we know that they follow, the Masons and the Jews, that's at the root of it, is the Kabbalah. So that was the one. I don't know if you've got any comments you'd like to add to that, Dennis?
Well, it's just that to me, it's just turning everything upside down, which is a Masonic thing. I mean, it's like anything that God believes is good, they'll turn into whatever that is, into bad, and their belief into good. It is a Masonic practice.
Right, so and pushing the boundaries as well, trying to be as sick as they can possibly
get. Yeah. I mean, paedophilia is probably the next one up, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, they've gone beyond paedophilia. There was a time when the scandals with the politicians would be homosexual scandals, and now they're pedophilia scandals. It's like a race to get to the bottom of the barrel. And there's a magical side to it as well. It's not just them trying to be degenerate and indulge in all their pleasures and the vices and lust and all the rest of it. There's a magical side to it as well. The more evil they are, the more they believe that, the more power that they've got. And I think, you know, a large part of this is this idea of getting rid of the opposites and trying to make men into women and women into men. And eventually what you get when you have nothing, you would end up with nothing. You'd end up with not even being conscious, because the way that we understand life is we differentiate between one thing and another, and we get better and better at doing that. We get better at measuring things, measuring distances, measuring time. We can look further out into space and we can see more things. But what they want to do is say, well, there's no difference between any of it. There's no difference between black and white. There's no difference between life and death. And eventually you just end up with unconsciousness. It's not
Nirvana. I mean, I suppose it goes down to the everyone's equal, which is a fallacy. Because I'm quite sure I've sat to some people who've been more knowledge than I have on some things and more talents on some things, and vice versa, other people that sat less with me. So it's this thing that we're all equal is a non-starter.
Well, yeah, that's part of it as well. It's this drive to get rid of all differences between people and get rid of everything that makes us special. Get rid of our ethnicity, get rid of our history, get rid of our heritage, and tell us that we're all just a historyless, heritageless human being.
And nothing, in other words.
Yeah, that's what you end up with. And some of these New Age religions, that their drive is towards that as well. It's towards nothingness. It's towards nirvana, like merging with God when there's no difference anymore. But that's death. because you wouldn't have any knowledge. You'd have
The New Age religions, I think, are on the same roundabout as our friends, aren't they? I think so. That's not a surprise.
Well, yeah, a lot of it comes from Blavatsky, and you can see all these links with it. The sad thing is, sometimes nationalists get caught up in it. They get caught up in the Gnostic side of things or the esoteric side of things, and they miss the Kabbalistic connections and the Freemasonic connections. I used to be really into reading a lot of this Gnostic stuff and esoteric stuff, and so much of it is derived from the Kabbalah, and so much of it has Jewish authors.
Interesting. It's probably in no opposition at the moment, so what can one do? You know, there's no military opposition to stop it, so we've just got to live with it at the moment.
Well, the main opposition towards it was Catholicism.
And well, that's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in July, we did one on the war against Catholicism.
Yeah.
If you want to talk a bit about the war against Catholicism and how you've been selling that in your series.
Well, this is interesting. It is interesting because there's some people have some weird ideas. One is that they don't believe that Catholicism is Christian, which is an insult to somebody like myself and other Catholics. And then they say that the Catholic religion has always been kind of a disguised Babylonian institution. And maybe this is all the propaganda coming from all different directions since World War II. But my knowledge is that Catholicism has always been the enemy of Freemasonry. I believe it was after World War I, it was taken over again by Freemasonry and the Rothschilds. And only during the period when Adolf Hitler was defending Europe that it came to pass that they were free of the Masonry again. And so the world looks at Germany now and Adolf Hitler as non-Christian, but that is because all press outside Europe at that time, as is today the same, is all handled by the Jews. And people can't really get their head around the fact that if you don't understand Christianity as the centre of World War II for Europe, you'll never understand it at all, because that was the basis that they fought the Soviet Union and the Freemasons in the West.
Now, I think this was around the time that you made the video with that elderly nun who was lamenting the fall of Christianity as well at the time.
Yeah. I mean, that to me was an example of Christianity during World War II. That was someone who had deep moral beliefs and would go over the wall and die for the cause, which is exactly what the Christians in Europe did during World War II, but since then, it's been infiltrated, as we know. Paedophilia has been rife in the church. Masons have been in the church. And so the outcome now to a new generation is that the Catholic Church is kind of an abortion of an institution.
Well, I would say to people, I would suggest to people to check out Bishop Williamson's stuff. He's fantastic. You imagine that's what these bishops all used to be like. They all used to be like that. And when you're saying there, Dennis, about some of these accusations that people make about Roman Catholicism being Babylonian, I would say, well, the white race goes all the way back to Babylon. It goes back to the Middle East. It goes back to Syria. All those countries. Plus, we have our own European pagan influences as well from our history. And when we became Christian, we didn't lose all of that. Bits of that were included in it. And the Roman Catholic Church, the heritage of the Roman Catholic Church, goes back to the Hebrews and the Hebrew priests and the temple that they had in the Old Testament. So that's the heritage. So you're going to have a Middle Eastern part to it that goes back pre our civilization in Europe. And you're going to have an influence from what we in Europe believed in before we became Christian. So you're going to have Christmas and Easter are going to be Christianized, as it were, and you're going to have saints and angels that can be traced back to these earlier gods. And it's not that it's the worship of these earlier gods that's under a veneer of Christianity. It's just bits of our history that have become a part of it, I think. Part of our, you know, our heritage that shows through it. And it shows to me that it's white, and it's inherently white when we have things like Christmas and Easter that are central parts of it. So I'm not, you know, that's the way I would see it.
Well, it's just that pagans kind of accuse Catholics of celebrating, say, Christmas when they're saying it's a pagan holiday. But, you know, I mean, Christmas to me has the word Christ in for a reason, and that's the way I look at it.
Well, I think it's a European holiday, and it was a European holiday that we observed before we became Christian. It's called Christmas now. You know, we were pre-Christian, and now then we were Christian, and now we're post-Christian, but we don't actually change from being the white race. And
no, I think they're going about the date you were born, though. So, I mean, some people say that they weren't born on 25th of December, but more in the summer months. This is what they say anyway. I don't really care.
Yeah, that's
it's Christmas to me. It's Christmas.
That's just academic, really. I think at the time, they counted the birthday from the date of conception. So when you were born, what we would now say is our birthday, back then they would say you're already 9 months old. This is one of the ways that they managed to get abortion in and say that people weren't actually born until their birthday. Because centuries ago, it was from the moment of conception. That was the important thing. And if you think that the Christmas date, the winter solstice, that was the date of conception, that would have meant that he was born in September time, which fits in with the shepherds being out in the fields, like it tells us. So it's still an important date. It was the date, but it was probably the date of the conception rather than the birth. And also I would say when people try to say that Roman Catholicism doesn't have history or whatever, it does have a history. It goes right the way back. The church was originally one church, and then in the 10th century, you got two sides to it, Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic. But essentially, they're both the same, pretty much. It was just a disagreement. But the Roman Catholic Church can trace its roots right back to the beginning, the same as the Eastern Orthodox Church can as well. And if it wasn't for the Roman Catholic Church, then we wouldn't have the Bible, because they translated it into Latin, the Vulgate, and made sure that we preserved all these scriptures. So even, you know, people that are Protestant, that I would advise them not to be too anti-Catholic, because we've got lots to thank the Catholics for. And when you look at when Europe was Catholic, or especially when you look at when Britain was Catholic, it was merry old England. That was the best that England has ever been.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was the very best times that England had it. And if you check out Bishop Williamson's work, he talks a lot about that, and just, you know, what a tragedy the Protestant Reformation was. And E. Michael Jones. If you look at our best researchers, E. Michael Jones, Michael Hoffman, Bishop Williamson, and I can't think of any particularly good Protestant researchers, not of their caliber. I can think of good Christian identity ones, but there's no Protestant researchers that come close to E. Michael Jones.
Yeah. It's you know, I mean, Hitler in Germany, there was a Catholic and there was a Protestant side to Germany, and, you know, I don't have a problem with that, but obviously, you know, the rules of the Catholic Church are, if you don't be a Catholic, then there's no way you can go into paradise. But we'll find out for sure, won't we?
I look at it as if you're obeying the laws of the Bible, try to obey the commandments of God and Christ, then, you know, that's good enough. I don't think it really matters that much what denomination you are, because we're all obeying the same law. We're all in the same struggle.
Yeah. We're more disunited than anybody else. You know, fractions of Christian Orthodoxy, and we've got Catholicism, we've got Protestantism, evangelists, you name it. There's, you know, Christianity's got a lot of fractured parts, which never helps.
A lot of that was down to the Jews as well, funding the Protestant Revolution, funding the printing off of Bibles with spurious parts in them and bad translations. You know, this all happened when the printing press began. They started funding it all. Well, moving on to August, this was a bit of a sad year. This was the year that Ernst Zundel, the revisionist marcher, died. Do you want to talk a bit about Ernst Zundel, Dennis?
Well, both he and his wife died last year, didn't they? It's somebody that I never actually spoke to or met. I know they had a great admiration for a documentary that I did. But I just felt that if I made contact or they made contact with me, I know they spoke to some people on the website, but if you made contact with me, then it could be a problem for Ernst to get back into America. So I kind of lied low. And in one way, I regret it in one way, but in another way, I just felt it was the right thing to do because I didn't want to hamper any means of him getting back with his wife. But he died, and I did make a tribute video to him. Great man, sadly missed, as was his wife. And if there's one thing, I wish I'd at least spoken to him at one point.
He set a really amazing example for others to follow. Incredible. Yeah, I recently listened to his German Holocaust series, which I recommend everyone check that out. It's horrific, some of the stuff that was in that. And he dug all this information out and read it all out for his TV series. He had a publishing company. He was publishing Third Reich stuff. And he was going on mainstream television debating these holo hoaxes. This was before it was after him that these laws came out. But at the time, you still had chat shows. And the holo hoaxers were so convinced that their story was true and that nobody would be able to question
them. They were overconfident, weren't they?
Yeah, that they actually had him on and he just wiped the floor with them. Exactly. These shows were recorded live. One of them's even banned in Britain, and this was just a daytime TV show from America. And it's now banned on YouTube. We're not supposed to be able to watch it in Britain.
Well, what can one say? And who doesn't want the truth to be out there?
Well, that's just it. I mean, he really, really did show that they were trying to silence him and trying to hide this part from history. The Holocaust trials, he had two trials for printing his books. He was found guilty and then he appealed and won the appeal. And then they tried it again. And then they kidnapped him, took him to Germany. And it was Sylvia Stoltz that we were talking about earlier was his lawyer, and she defended him, and then she got put in prison herself. And then she came out, she spoke at that conference, now she's in prison again, and now we've got somebody else, Monica Schaefer, who's been in prison for going along to her court case, and this all goes back to Ernst Zundel back there in the 80s, when you think about it.
I don't think... I listed quite a few in Greatest Story Never Told, but I think there's a lot we don't know about. I'm pretty sure.
What, revisionists or?
Just people just getting picked up for saying what they. That's something about the Holocaust. It probably goes into the thousands. That's my estimate.
It probably is a lot of people that we don't know about. When you think of all the people that have been arrested in Britain for hate speech or whatever, or putting a bit of bacon on a mosque door or whatever, hundreds. And you think, well, this same thing's been going on with Holocaust revisionism for, 30 years?
Well, I know how ruthless they are. I mean, let's be honest, this war, communism against National Socialism, whoever won, would have took great delight in wiping the last one out. Unfortunately for us, the communists won. And they've been relentless ever since, even with 98-year-old SS men. Makes no difference.
They'll go after anyone. I mean, we talked about that last year as well. one of them, the 88-year-old guy that they went after. That's right. Was Polish. Last year was a big year for censorship of the truth as well, and we did a podcast on that when YouTube started clamping down and removing the ability for people to monetize their videos, removing people like Jared Taylor. And we also had the big internet shutdown in August after Charlottesville, and the Daily Stormer got taken offline, and I think and Radix did, and Vanguard, and lots of sites got taken down. Did you have any censorship happening to you last year, Dennis, with your videos?
Well, believe it or not, I can't believe my channel's still up, because I'm pretty sure if you saw the videos, like, I don't pull any punches. But the only one that I think that they've put restrictions on is number one of the secret Masonic victory, and that I think is because I go into the Russian Revolution and the fact that like I strongly believe that Stalin was used all the way through World War II as a tool.
It was the centenary of that revolution last year as well. Centenary of the Bolshevik Revolution. And the Russians are actually going to investigate whether the killing of the Tsar was a Jewish ritual murder, an official investigation. That's going to be really good when we get the results of that. But I know that you've had the video censored before. It must have been a couple of years before when Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told came out, because they removed all of them, didn't they?
Yeah, a couple of times. A Black Monday. Just woke up one Monday morning and every single person when it uploaded that video, it either got muted or was taken down. It was incredible.
So it must be that because it's been online for a certain length of time now, they must just be leaving it alone, do you think?
I've no idea. You know, that's one thing that I could never understand, how it got back up there, because when the website people did inquire, they just called it hate speech. And, you know, we just thought that's it then. But it suddenly started to appear again. Don't ask me why. I haven't got a clue. Can I just say, by the way, I've noticed one or two comments on YouTube lately that says I'm a 33 degree Freemason.
Really?
I plead guilty of all charges. Yeah. Someone mentioned it in a comment. Someone mentioned The Greatest Story, and then if you don't believe that, do you? Dennis Wise is a Freemason, 33 degree.
I think people just make it up as they go along, don't they? If they got some, if they have some argument with you, or they have some disagreement with you, and they just make things up and say you were a Mason, or you're a Jew, or you're not white. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah, I found it amusing, to be honest. There's nothing you can do about it, is there?
Quite unbelievable. Well, we had this big internet shutdown in August, and we weren't hit too badly at Radio Airing. We lost our chat room, but we had another one waiting, so we had that going within about 10 minutes. We were back online with that. But a lot of other sites had a lot of problems, and they had problems with PayPal. And have you ever had problems with PayPal, Dennis, or do you use another?
PayPal shut down, yeah.
You've had that shut down.
But I don't handle the finances of the website. Then people deal with all that. They're pretty well clued up on the internet, so I just leave it to them. But PayPal. I mean, I think most people suffer with PayPal because they just look for a website with a pro National Socialist swastika or something, anything like that, shut down immediately.
I will say that your social media manager, who does Twitter and Gab, does an excellent job.
I don't think Twitter exists anymore for him, because he tried to get back on there, but they banned him again. So I think he's just on Gab at the moment. But he's frustrated as well, because what it means is he's really, Gab is like, well, you're preaching to the choir, aren't you? You know, you're not really getting any involved in any arguments or where you can, make a point, which he used to do really well on Twitter.
Yeah, he's fantastic. He's sending stuff out, messages out. I've always got a dozen or so messages from him every day. He's quoting people or new memes, and he's kept that up for I don't know, the last 2 years, ever since I've been using Twitter.
Yeah, no, he's
really dedicated.
I can't praise him high enough for that because, you know, there's only so much I know about the internet, you know.
Yeah, he does a really good job for you, Dennis. I say that. Move on to September. And in September, we had a look at the Jesuit conspiracy. And I heard some proof just recently that destroyed the Jesuit conspiracy. And that was in the International Jew, Henry Ford's The International Jew. And it was a load of high up Jews. And they were saying how all the original Jesuits were Jews. They were converso Jews. And how they had control of it right from the very beginning. And this was Jews themselves saying that. So I just thought.
Well, the thing is the only time you hear of Jesuits is when Rothschilds are in charge. You never heard of them when Hitler was in charge, you know what I mean? They all escaped, and so did the Freemasons and the occult people. They all left or were locked up. So, but whenever, you know, like I said, the Rothschilds are back in charge again, that's when you'll see them. And obviously, we're looking at a Jesuit Pope.
It's just a deflection, isn't it, to distract people from what's really going on. There's no laws against criticising Jesuits.
No. Which means waste of time.
It's not pro-Jesuit. It's not pro-Jesuit that you see everywhere. It's not promoting Jesuit ideas.
Well, that's a great point, that, for these people who keep throwing Jesuits at me. I can call a Jesuit anything I want. You know what I mean? I won't get into a problem.
Exactly, yeah. You can draw a picture of a Jesuit without running any risks.
Yeah, as you were saying.
You certainly can't have any of the Jews. And in September, we also did our Why the Alt-Right Needs National Socialism, when we looked at the 25-point plan. And that was really quite well-received, that was, I think, Dennis, when we went through all of those points and said how they could be applied today, how they could be adapted to apply to today, because National Socialism was based on natural law. It was based on the laws of the universe. So it doesn't matter what decade you were living in, those points could still be adapted. And any nationalist movement today should be looking at those points and adapting them. It's no good saying we don't like National Socialism. We're against the Third Reich, because Hitler was, you know, the greatest nationalist that ever lived. His thinking and his ideas, everyone uses today. Look at the Daily Stormer. The ideas that they get for propaganda comes from Adolf Hitler and Mein Kampf. And Andrew Anglin recommends people read the chapter on propaganda for people that want to write for the site. If you look at their ideals, they said that only Germans should be owning the media. There should be no foreign people owning the media. And look at the problems that Donald Trump has today with the media. And yet, if you were to say to anybody, what's wrong with having British people owning the British media, everyone you speak to would say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good idea. But if you say to them, what do you think of having the same laws on the media that the Nazis had, you know, they'll rubbish it and say, oh, no, we don't want that. But so long as you're not actually calling it National Socialist or Nazi, people think these ideas are good ideas. I think the problem is people just don't want to be associated with National Socialism, Dennis.
Well, funnily enough, I heard a priest talking, and he talks a lot of sense on a lot of things. But then at one point he said that the New World Order in Europe, anyway, will be based on the National Socialist. I wish. But he's got it all wrong. I mean, and as I've said many, many times, the historians in America got it all wrong. There's a speech actually of Adolf Hitler where he actually says about socialism and nationalism, and he actually says that between the two, there's no difference. You know, it's the Jews who twisted the word socialism to their favour, which they've done many, many times with many, many words. And in Adolf Hitler's eyes, nationalism and socialism with the two men, you know, meant the same thing. I'll try and dig the speech up for you in a minute if I can.
Well, they have to be the same thing, don't they? If you're talking about nationalism, the ethnic nation, then you're putting the needs of the nation ahead of the needs of the individual, and you're trying to look, do what's best for everyone in the nation and look out for them. And the socialists and the communists say, well, we're trying to look out for everyone. We're for the worker. We're going to raise the worker up. But the only people that actually do that are nationalists. Yet because socialism has been linked with communism and Marxism, everyone thinks that because it says national socialism, that they were leftists. And they weren't. It was central. It was adhering to natural law. I mean, we've said many times, haven't we, Dennis, what we're promoting is the central position. It's not extreme left, not extreme right.
It's not extreme to love your country.
Or your people.
Yeah.
You know, it's as natural as loving your own family and wanting to do the best for your own family. I think
they want to break the family up as well, don't they? So that's just an example.
Yeah, I think the people that nationalists that speak out against National Socialism, they're just trying to virtue signal, or they don't know that much about National Socialism.
Yeah, well, the one thing I'm hearing these days, I mean, what they're good at, Jews, is they're good at disguising certain things. And by that, I mean, you look at George Bush, and I've told people many, many times, and proved even in the documentary Communism by the Back Door, that he was a communist. He's a Trotskyite, which means he's a Bolshevik. But they're called neocons, which kind of throws everybody. Well, the same thing's happening now with the New World Order. I noticed it's been cropping up quite a bit, this. When I'm saying the New World Order is going to be communism, what I hear floating about the New World Order is going to be corporate fascism. It's just another name for communism, but it's to fool the people. And you mark my words, you'll probably hear that many, many times.
Well, that really annoys me when I do hear that. You know, you hear the civic nationalists or you hear the alt-light saying that Islam is fascism or Islam is Nazis and Quran is the same as Mein Kampf. You know, you really hear these ridiculous things like that, which really they just show that the people that are saying it have no idea what they're talking about. They've never read Mein Kampf. Yeah. They don't know anything about National Socialism. They're still stuck in the idea that Hitler is the ultimate evil, so if I want to run something down, I must compare it with Hitler. And we really need to get past that.
This priest had that idea, you know what I mean? Like, he kind of gave it that it was Hitler's idea to do an EU and all this kind of thing. Nothing of the sort. Nothing of the sort. Nothing like this EU. But for some reason, the Catholic Church, well, we know why, really. You know, they've got to say these things, haven't they?
Well, I think people today are far better informed than they were, especially young people. I think young people are more awoke to National Socialism than any generation that we've ever had before. And if any of these CivNat groups or alt-light groups today want to appeal to young people, then by comparing Islam to Hitler, they're just going to get laughed at. Don't you think?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I won't say who it is, but I'm thinking specifically of someone that I've heard recently doing that. And all I can see that doing is turning off young people.
Yeah.
You don't have to show support for it. You don't have to show support for it, but just don't counter signal it. Don't try to virtue signal that you're against National Socialism. Because if you're any form of nationalism, the Jews are going to attack you anyway. The left is going to attack you. They're not going to give you a pass because you compare Muslims to Hitler. Just laugh
at it. Not at all.
Well, moving on to October, Freemasonry, Occult, and Operation Barbarossa. And this was, this included the Pentagon as well. This was quite a complex episode, I think, this one, Dennis, and about the controlling of the weather. I think you better refresh our memory about it.
Yeah, basically what it was, I mean, I've always had this thing about the occult and the Allies never, ever getting mentioned. And obviously they were all Freemasons, Churchill, Roosevelt, you name it. And even people behind the scenes, Hollywood and people like that. And yet there's never no mention of the occult, but it was always Hitler and the Nazis. Where we found evidence of I mean, I always suspected Roosevelt of planning to go to war, even though he won an election saying that he never took American boys to war. But that wasn't the first time that was said. I think Woodrow Wilson said that in the First World War. But we found that he kind of had a rapid building of the Pentagon. And the reason why was because Hitler preempted Stalin's attack on Europe. Now, I firmly believe that the bankers owned Soviet Union from 1917 would have told Stalin to attack, because when Churchill went to Roosevelt for help, like Britain did in World War One, this time they couldn't do it because the nation didn't want to go to war in a civil war in Europe. And so, you know, he had a bit of work to do. But obviously, you know, they couldn't leave things as they were. And so I think they told Stalin to mass an army on the borders of Europe, and they were willing to just rampage, rape and pillage all the way through. Hitler got wind of it by a couple of weeks and invaded them, which is why millions of Russians were caught in the first few weeks on the border. Never discussed by historians. In fact, the whole thing is never discussed by historians. You know, there's when the archive came opened up, and when the Soviet Union came down, all the evidence was there, all the signed documents and all the dates and everything when this invasion was about to take place, Operation Thunder. Some call it Operation Thunderstorm. And that meant then that Hitler was going into the Soviet Union with a coalition of Christian nations. And he was doing really well. And I pointed that out where he gave a speech at one point, an update in the Reichstag, and said the enemy was defeated. It did never rise again. Now, for Hitler to say something like that, he's got to be on some kind of a guarantee. He's not going to say something like that lightly. Point being, all this time, Roosevelt is taking total command of building this Pentagon, this Masonic building, which falls in line with the 31st, 32nd degrees, and is an exact replica of the place in
Stonehenge.
Yeah. It was an exact replica, megalithic measurements to the megalithic inch, if you like, only a lot bigger. And it should have took something like 4 years to build, but they kind of got it done in a rapid time. And just as the Germans were getting to the gates of Moscow, in fact, there was fighting in Moscow, I believe, at some point, the whole thing come to a halt. And it was the most vicious weather, a winter, certainly, that had been known for years. And the one of the greatest armies in history just ground to a halt. And then the Soviets kind of started to back off the Germans when they struggled against Finland not that long ago. Just things didn't seem to add up. And I know from the teachings of Adolf Hitler and Freemasonry, etc., that he looked upon it as demonic. He often said there was a demonic hold over Germany. And the Rothschilds and the banks and everybody were in charge. And I believe him. You know, this is exactly the same in the UK, down in the city of London. But the thing was, it did ground to a halt, and things started from then on to work backwards. Now, I can't say for sure that happened, but you've got to wonder why Roosevelt went to such great lengths to actually build that building and in such a specific way. I know that these people can bring out demons. Crowley's done it. Hollywood's done it. The people in Hollywood's done it. They admit to it. Where the, you know, actors are not even, they're not even themselves when they're acting. It's been taken over by a demonic force. So these things go on. But can't really prove it. But you've got to look at like I said, one of the greatest armies the world has ever seen. Just ground to a halt and then was backed off. Who knows? But it certainly was. There was an occult flavour to that Pentagon.
Was the Pentagon finished then at the same time as the snowstorm hit and the cold weather hit?
I think the Pentagon finished about 16th of January, and the winter came in early December. So I think enough would have been done at the Pentagon for things to be happening. I mean, it isn't, that's not the first time this has happened. I mean, you look at the Spanish Armada, which was a guarantee invasion. You know, the strongest navy in the world, wrecked with weather. There's one or two other things what's happened, you know, in history where it can't be explained. And certainly, I watched a documentary once about the UK, and it was saying that the only religion that they've ever exported is witchcraft. And these things do go on when, in times of danger, these witches all get together and do what they do.
Well, I know they did have witches that were casting spells against Germany, from Britain. I know that was going on.
And in America, and
I suspect in America. And we talked about this in the episode that we did, but the dimensions of Stonehenge correspond with the dimensions of the Great Pyramid in Egypt, and also correspond with the dimensions of the heavenly Jerusalem in the Apocalypse. So there are certain measurements that are like occult measurements. They have some kind of theological, spiritual significance. So using that for a military base for war, that is going to give it power, I would suggest. And it's also linked up with the distance between the earth and the sun and the earth and the moon and all these sacred measurements and sacred geometry. You would think, well, why is that being used for a military base?
It's got to be military. The other one, of course, is I think Napoleon had fallen out with him at one point, and when he went into Russia, he suffered the same fate. Another real severe winter. That's another one, you know what I mean, just to ponder over.
Well, and also the weather. I mean, they talk about rain dances, and you can read in the Old Testament that there was a great big drought, and then Elijah called down the rain with his sacrifice, and then they slew all the prophets of Baal who were unable to bring rain. So control of the weather is something that's been talked about as something that God could do, or something that the gods could do, or could be used as a weapon throughout our history.
Well, nothing surprises me. It wouldn't surprise me at all, because when you're dabbling in, I mean, I did that episode. I think I had the guy who played Dracula. He opened it up when he was talking about black magic, saying that of course it's real, you know, and he rammed several sources of magic off, which was a great little introduction. And then we go into the Book of the Masons. Well, it's not exactly a Masonic book. It's books that Freemasons would recommend. That's the way they get around it. And there was a lot of, you know, how to, I think it was, I can't remember his name, my memory's getting a joke. But there was a certain episode in that where it actually showed you how to raise demons.
Well, I remember the episode that you were talking about there. I think that was a good description of it, because we also talked about Luciferianism last year, and this doctrine that man can be his own god and man can make his own laws. And the best way that they can hide things like this weather magic is by telling everybody not to believe in the devil, not to believe in it all. I mean, that's the best disguise, isn't it?
That's his greatest trick, isn't it? That he doesn't exist. Yeah. In fact, I believe the Catholic Church came out and said that the other week.
Did they?
I believe so.
Well, it's quite true, isn't it? I mean, that is the best way to hide this sort of thing. And we also talked about the summoning of angels. Someone said, oh, we should summon angels. But that's what a lot of these occultists were doing. They thought that they were calling on the names of angels, and once they'd done that, they could control these angels by talking to them in the angelic language. But you can't control angels. I mean, is it an angel? The angel Gabriel supposedly appeared to Muhammad, and you got Islam, and that's not from God. He says it came from the angel Gabriel, but it's not from God. You know, we can't control angels. They're purely as messengers from God, and well, a temptation to is it's got to be wrong.
There's a guy on YouTube who is a Satanist. His channel never gets brought down, by the way. And he actually goes into great detail of what these demons are called and what they actually do. He said at one point that he actually summoned up a demon because he had a court case. I said, this demon, can't remember his name, but he had a name for it, it was specifically used to change the judge's mind and make the judge more, you know, affable to the charge. Like, and he said it worked. And this is a well-known Satanist of today.
And does he think that he didn't have to pay for that? Because I doubt very much. He would have had to pay for it.
Think so.
But I bet whatever it was, he did pay for it. There's a lot more to it than that as well. And I tend to look at these things that you'll then be deluded, you'll be deceived, and you won't realise that you have been deceived. You know, sure. They do work.
I mean, it doesn't come free, like I said.
Yeah, you'll be rewarded for it, but you won't be able to see what you are being used for, and you will be used for evil purposes without realizing it. And then maybe just before you die, your eyes might be opened and you might see what you've been used for the whole of your life, and then it's too late. You're gone.
Well, I can remember one episode we were talking about. He said it were possible to raise Lucifer, but he said he does get annoyed because it's like, you know, there's several other demons that you could call rather than Lucifer. So he avoids trying to call him up, but he said he can be called up. You know, I truly believe these guys know what they're doing.
Well, they've got a whole cosmology for it. They've got the names and yeah. what they're for, and they've got a language, and the language was supposedly given to them. But I would say that you don't end up controlling them. They end up controlling you. And it's best to just leave all that stuff alone. We've got a couple more.
We're going to hear the Ouija board if you hear me.
Yeah. It just starts with things like that. A couple of other things we covered last year as well. There was the centenary of the Balfour Declaration. So we went into that, talking a bit about that and the start of Israel, basically, and how the Jews got America to come into the war. And you covered this in Adolf Hitler, Great Story Never Told.
Great Story, yeah.
And finally, we also started looking at Africa and the fight to control Africa and Cecil Rhodes and the Boer War and a lot of stuff in your documentary series, Dennis. It's really the sort of the first time we've really seen an alternative history of it put into documentary form.
Well, it's like you said last week, it all links up. The link is the world revolution. That's exactly what it were, a world revolution. And where the Jews took over certain countries, didn't quite take over Spain and a couple of others, but eventually did because of World War II. And so this world revolution is quietly still going on today.
And we went into the beginning of it as well in Jerusalem and these Jews in Jerusalem, that first revolution they had that the Romans had to put down and ended up destroying Jerusalem. And ever since then, Jews have been sowing the seeds of revolution and the Freemasons have been alongside them. And the Masons trace their history back to Herod. We did an episode on that as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
On Herod and the head of John the Baptist and all this alternative occult stuff that's going on that our leaders and our enemies are involved in. And we shouldn't be involved in it. We're the other side. We're the opposite side to all that. And we need to remember.
Well, even the Freemasons in America who first went over there, the Benjamin Franklins and whatever. They were all into the occult. You know, real dire stuff.
Oh, that's the thing, isn't it? Once you get to the upper classes, the aristocracy, the majority of them are Freemasons. Whether they're involved in the really dark side of it or not, they're still Freemasons. And they've still got that oath to look out for the other members of the society and never speak about it. And the darker side of it use that as a cover. To keep it all secret. Anyway, Dennis, we've reached the end of the podcast, so I'll say thank you. Thank you very much for coming on. Happy New Year once again.
Thank you. And yourself.
Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Friday with another edition of Truth Will Out Radio for you. So until then, I say go out, have a great weekend, and we'll see you all again next Friday.
tuned into Radio Aryan.